I appreciate your prayers on my behalf this morning. I've been fighting a sinus infection the last couple of days, and still a little bit weak, and under it just a little bit, but I'm thankful I am feeling a little better than I was yesterday. John chapter number 12, we're going to begin our reading in verse number 20. John chapter number 12. Verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake unto him. I want to take this passage as our text this morning and bring a message entitled "The Glory of the Memorialized." The glory of the memorialized. Let's pray together. Father, again, we're thankful to be in your house. Thank you again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together as believers. And I pray now that you'll make this a very enriching time in our lives. I pray that because of what we hear today, we will be more useful servants of yours. Again, I pray that if there is one here that's lost, does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would not love their life so much that they would not be willing to give it to you and ultimately be born again and have the eternal life that you offer. We love you and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for giving yourself as a memorial for us. In Jesus' name, amen. A fever pitch of fame is seemingly being reached in our text passage. Much people are coming to the feast of the Passover in order to see Jesus. And on Palm Sunday, they shower him with praise and publicly hail him as the coming King of Israel. Upon this occasion, enter certain Greeks, the Bible says. Now, these are Gentile people. And whether they were those that were believers or whether they were those that were unbelievers, we're not sure about that. But there were certain Greeks who also desired to see Jesus, the one who had raised a man from the dead. Jesus' fame and his notoriety is sort of building, as we said a little while ago, to a fever pitch. People now know about this man by the name of Lazarus and how he was dead for 3 days. And yet on the fourth day, Jesus came and raised him from the dead. Something interesting occurs, though, when Andrew and Philip relay this information to the Lord. Jesus begins talking about death and places death in the realm of glory. Though no one seems to fully grasp this perspective, Christ does. What Jesus understands completely is that the peak, and this is the crux of the message, the peak of God's glory comes not in some miraculous feat, but in the sacrifice of His life for freedom to all of mankind. God's glory certainly encompasses the vastness of His creation and all of His mighty acts and deeds. But the showcase of His glory is in His provision of life eternal for man by His sacrifice of His own life. Now we think about that and we think of it in terms of Memorial Day and what we look to this holiday weekend and those that have given their life and literally died so that we might be free. And yet Jesus displays this better and in a more perfect way than anybody ever could. The glory of the memorialized. I want to say four things to you today about this glory of the memorialized. Number one, I want to talk to you about the time of the glory. The time of the glory. Look there at John chapter 12, again in verse number 23. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Notice verse number 27. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." You see, there was a specific time that God had orchestrated in the history of humankind that Jesus would come to this moment where He would be glorified. Jesus even says to His disciples up just a few verses that there would come the point that He would be glorified. Verse number 16, "These things understood not His disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of Him." In other words, there was a time that had been even prophesied where Jesus would be glorified. This wasn't the time, although He would be resurrected again. This was not that time. This was not the time where He would ultimately ascend to go and be at the right hand of His Father, that He would be glorified. This was not that time. The time of His glory was the time that He would give His life in sacrifice for all of us. Galatians chapter number 4 speaks about this specific time that God had in mind. Galatians chapter 4 verse number 3 says it like this: "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Could I say this? Throughout the time until Jesus would come and ultimately give His sacrifice, mankind over and over again, whether it be the moral law or whether it be the Jewish law, mankind over and over again would see that His righteousness and His goodness would never be enough to fulfill that law. So we were all under the bondage of the elements of this world, and over again the curse of sin would take over in a man's life, and he would have to die. Why? Because he was under bondage of the law. And yet the Bible says, in the fullness of time, when the time was just right, God sent forth His Son to give the sacrifice. I think about the book of Esther, and it is one of my favorite books of the Bible. In Esther chapter number 4, a very familiar passage and very famous passage there in the book of Esther. Mordecai is speaking to Esther about the danger that the children of Israel are under. And in Esther chapter 4 and verse number 13, it says this: Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." What was going on here? God had orchestrated the events of time in the life of Queen Esther so that she would at least have the opportunity to be able to go into the king and be able to plead on the behalf of the life of her people. And what does this have to do with the time of glory? Esther and Jesus and even the soldiers of our country that have given their lives. I'm saying that God has orchestrated that time in such a way that glory could come from it. I can think of the history of nations that have gone before us and nations that have brutally oppressed those that wanted to worship the one true God over and over again. And what did God allow? Even from the beginning of the days of this great nation in which we live, He allowed some folks to be able to put their life and their fortune up so that we might have freedom to be able to worship the Lord. The time of glory, God orchestrated it. He orchestrated it for our Lord and Savior Christ. And He's orchestrated it for others that have been memorialized as well. May I say this, though, it's just not a time where one would give up their life. It's not just glorious just to give up your life until God would say so. There are those that would think that, you know, they would maybe commit suicide or something like that, giving up their life in that way, and in some way that would be glorious. All I would say about that is the time of this glorification, it is up to the Lord, and just as the Lord ordained it in the life of Christ and would potentially ordain it in the life of Esther, He would ordain it for all of us. And God would allow us to give our lives when it is time for us to give our lives. The time of glory. I want to say a word to you, though, also about the tale of glory. This has always been a very interesting passage to me in John chapter 12. Notice verse number 24, John 12, 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, it's amazing even what God has done in nature and in His creation of seed and plant and harvest and so on, to make it so that a seed or a grain of wheat would have to die in the ground before life can come forth and life more abundant. This is the tale that Jesus gives right here in John chapter number 12, the tale of glory. We see more about this tale of glory in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn over there, if you would, for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This grain of wheat dying in the ground so that much fruit can come forward. And although the disciples, the followers of Christ, thought that Jesus would set up His kingdom and do those things immediately, Jesus was letting them know, just like a grain of wheat must die in the ground, the Son of Man must also give His life so that much fruit can come forward. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, notice this, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and do every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How was he made a quickening spirit? He was made a quickening spirit by allowing that body, that physical body that God gave him, ultimately to die and to be buried, to be put in a tomb, so that that quickening spirit could come forth for you and me. Ah, the tale of glory. This blade of wheat, the seed going to the ground to die so that much fruit can come forward. Jesus goes on to say that those that love their life will ultimately lose their life, but those that hate their life will keep it unto life eternal. What does he mean by that? When we focus our attention on trying to preserve ourselves, and that's the thrust of our life, ultimately we'll lose our life. Jesus gave an example of that. He didn't go about trying to preserve his physical life. No, he went about realizing that ultimately he would give it as a sacrifice for us so that much fruit could come from it. The time of glory, the tale of glory. I want you to see for a moment, though, the troubling of glory. The troubling of glory. You see, Jesus Christ was 100% God, but he was also all man as well. And in soul and in body, he dealt with the same struggles as you and I do, the same weaknesses as you and I do. John 12:27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. You see, sometimes I think we think of those heroes maybe that have purchased freedom even for our nation or for another nation. We think that they just went out with joy and gladness and everything was just wonderful and great within, that they were excited to give their lives. May I say to you that Jesus' soul was troubled over what he was about to experience, the oppression and the abuse that he was about to experience, and having to have the weight of the sin of the world on him. His soul was troubled in that moment. Look at Luke chapter number 9. Think about those who have given their life and come to that point in time when death is imminent. And I know that their soul was troubled as well, and yet they still went. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So interesting, this troubling of glory. We see people all through the ages, and some even in recent years. I think of the football player. He actually played in the National Football League there, and Pat Tillman, and was doing good and had a contract to come and all of that. And yet around the time of September 11th, 2001, he decided that there was something more important. So he left the fame and the fortune of the NFL and went and ultimately got involved fighting for our country and gave his life. What did he have to do in order to be put in that position? He had to ultimately deny himself and deny his life and what it could be for the glory that could be. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 30. The troubling of this glory. See, it wasn't easy for Christ, certainly not in his humanity, as he came to this time of giving his life. His soul was in agony. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What is he saying? He's saying that living this Christian life in light of a resurrection of the dead, it is a troubled life. And oftentimes we're in warfare, spiritual warfare, that manifests itself even as in a physical way. I'm thinking of those martyrs that have gone before that have given their lives ultimately for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why would they do it? Because they saw past the trouble to the glory. Why would Jesus ultimately give up his life, be glorified in the way that he did, even when his soul was troubled? He did it because he saw past the trouble to the glory. We've looked at the time of glory, tale of glory, and the troubling of glory. I want you to notice one final thing, and this is so beautiful to me, the thundering of glory. Go back, if you would, to John chapter 12. Notice verses 28 and 29. John 12, 28 and 29. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. You see, there was a thundering of this glory that proceeded forward even at the time where Jesus was saying that he was going to have to give his life. We see this over and over again. Of course, God says, I have glorified my name. He did it at his birth, did he not? At Jesus' birth. Luke chapter number 2, verses 8 through 14. We read about God glorifying himself there. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Notice, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That same thunderous voice that was heard there at the time that Christ was talking about his being glorified, that same type of voice was heard at his birth. Then it was heard at his baptism. Luke chapter number 3, God said, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it. Jesus is about to enter his human earthly ministry Luke chapter 3 and verse number 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Once again, the voice of God thundering forward, I am glorified. Then at his transfiguration, there in Luke chapter 9, verse number 28, came to pass about an 8 days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. What am I saying? Over and over again in the life, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, this same voice would thunder forward and talk about the thundering of this glory, that all men might be able to hear the voice and realize that there had been the memorialized Jesus Christ who would give his life so that there would be real glory. The thundering of glory. I hear that thundering today in our nation as we look back on those that have given their lives for our freedom. I see and hear the voices and the faces of all those that have come as a result of that sacrifice. Those who are able to have the opportunity to live in freedom and the opportunity to be able to progress and to make a life and to have a prosperity and these types of things that we have in our country. Why? Because somebody was willing to thunder forward their voice for glory. God did the same thing in the life of Jesus Christ. He said, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it. What am I saying this morning? There is glory attached to the memorialized. No, not the glory of even the resurrection or the ascension, but the glory of the death that Jesus Christ would give in our behalf so that we might be spiritually free. And in the same way, I'm thankful that there is a glory that has been given on our behalf that we might be free of those that have given their lives as a sacrifice. How should we live? Realizing that there is a time for us as well. God has a time that we are to live and we are to speak out and to live out our lives for Him. And there is a time that He has set down when we are also to give our lives. Maybe it will be for the cause of Jesus Christ. Oh, there is a tale. Unless that blade of wheat, unless that seed, that grain of wheat dies, then fruit can't come forth. And unless we ultimately deny ourselves and ultimately live our life for the cause of Jesus Christ, much fruit won't come forth. And boy, there is trouble, isn't there? Because there are times when we want to live our lives the way that others might live them and live it for glory and fame and fortune and these types of things. But we see past that trouble to glory. All so that there can be a thundering forward of glory. So that ultimately Jesus' name and His sacrifice, who He is, can be thundered forward for the world. I want to challenge us and encourage us today to live for Him. And if He would bring us to that point, to die for Him. so that ultimately his name can be thundered forward to those that would come after us. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus today. Thank you, Lord, for the glory of the memorialized. Lord, we look back, we even have, Lord, the Lord's Supper, partake of that, we do it in remembrance of you. We have some folks that will be baptized today, and Lord, we even picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. It's memorialized. Lord, we're thankful for it. I pray that you would help us to live like our Savior. Lord, to realize that you have a time and a purpose for us as well. Lord, we might live in such a way that your name would be glorified. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that it was thundered forward enough in my life, and the lives of many that are here this morning, that we were able to receive you as our personal Savior. So, Lord, as we think about Memorial Day and think about those that have given their lives and sacrificed for our country, I pray, Lord, that we would also focus on the fact that Jesus gave his life that we might be free. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to say this. Maybe there's somebody here today. You've never experienced the freedom that Jesus Christ offers you today. You've never been born again. You've never received him as your personal Savior. You're not sure of eternal life. Maybe you're loving your life to the point where you'll lose it. But friend, Jesus is calling forward the memorialized to say, come to me. Maybe you're here today, you'd say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not a believer. I'm not sure that I've been born again or that I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it today. Would you pray for me? Is there one like that? With every head bowed, every eye closed, just lift your hand up and right back down. I'd like to pray for you if that's your need today. Is there one like that? Is there one like that? Don't see any hands. Let me ask you this, Christian friend. Have you gotten to the point where you have sort of gotten over yourself? You've said that whatever the Lord's time and purpose for my life is, that's what I want it to be, so that there will be glory for the Lord. I want to live my life and ultimately even die for him. You would say, God's spoken to my heart today. We can be the memorialized for the Lord. We certainly can be. Hands up all over. Let's pray together. We'll have a time of invitation. I didn't see any hands for salvation. If you're in need of that this morning, we'd invite you to come forward. And let us take the Bible, show you what you need to know that you might be able to be born again. Maybe you need to make a public decision for baptism or for church membership or rededicating your life, something like that. We would invite you to come during this invitation time as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you've spoken to our hearts. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to live like you. Lord, we would be willing to give our lives so that your glory would go forward. People would come into relationship with you as a result. Again, Lord, if there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray they would come during this invitation time and get it settled before it's eternally too late. Thank you for your goodness today, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed?